Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
This is Kits and Wagers. I am Adam Zadrug, joined by Chris Owen. We're talking game week 4 in the Premier League. Chris, are you there? I can't. There's a hotel lamp there. You're kind of blending into the background. Okay, there we go. Chris, what's up?
You got me? Can you see me? I'm moving. Adam set up our the background here for the podcast if you're watching on YouTube, and it's basically a grass field. And I'm wearing this Vermont green shirt that is basically looks, it's kind of like tie-dye-ish, a little bit of grassy, kind of exactly the same color as our background. So if you're watching and you just see a floating head, no torso, I am here. I am ready to podcast, you know, to just discuss game week 4 here in the Premier League. But should have talked to Adam about what the background was going to be anyways. But anyways, what's going on, Adam?
Yeah, you got like the Vermont forest you're wearing here, and that's going on. So there's rumors of Alexander Isak going to Newcastle. So I busted out his Sociedad jersey, and I don't really want him to go to Newcastle, but we'll see what happens. It looks like he's going to be the Callum Wilson replacement and not Chris Wood, but I guess I'll have to wear this Isak jersey whenever he gets to start. But game week 4. You can see here if you're watching, we got the full odds report on the screen. Again, rotowire.com/soccertrial. You can get this on our cheat sheets. Just click on the fan team cheat sheet. It includes all 10 games. As you can see here, we got some pretty big favorites. And surprisingly, one of the worst teams in the league, Liverpool, are the biggest favorite in the week. Yeah. So the four biggest favorites are all at home, and usually when that happens, you know, it kind of makes some things hard to bet on. And we originally weren't going to talk about any of these four games, but I decided to throw in this Arsenal-Fulham match. We'll get to that second. But first up, we're going to talk about Brighton against Leeds. Two of the, I don't know if I want to say surprising, maybe surprising. I guess Leeds are kind of surprising. I feel like Brighton are kind of the same team as they were last season, but they are both teams top five in the table, and Brighton are at home for this one. You can get them -115 to win. Leeds are +310, and we can see about 10 days ago, Brighton were -135. So it looks like Leeds are getting some money, getting some Brendan Aaronson love, coming off a 3-0 win against Chelsea. Do you believe in Leeds in this spot, Chris?
Sort of. Interesting enough, these two teams have been playing like kind of opposite brands of ball, whereas like Brighton's been very good at the back. They've been, I think, conceded what, one goal through three matches, and they two back-to-back shots against West Ham and somebody else the week before, but they've been like super, super strong. Including also, they did play in the League Cup earlier this week. I think it was that yesterday, and they shut out, you know, somebody who is a lower league team. And the only goal that they've actually conceded is to Manchester United. So on one end of the spectrum, you're like, all right, Brighton's behind has been super tight. Meanwhile, Leeds, they have 7 goals in 3 matches, and in 3 of those matches, it's been over the goal total has been over 3. And then also in their League Cup match yesterday, it was 3-1. So two ends of the spectrum. Brighton good defensively. Leeds just involved in matches with a ton of goals. So I guess when I was looking at this, I was looking at the over under, and I think it's at the 2.5 is kind of the line there. And it's over 2.5 is -120, and then under 2.5 is -105. So I guess I wanted to ask you what you think about that. Are you more of a school of thought like Brighton just typically, you know, keep holding to low scoring affairs, or are you like, all right, Leeds looks like they're high process, high octane, they're taking care of taking advantage of different situations, or and there is going to be a lot of goals. What do you think about that?
I think Brighton are kind of built to handle things like the high press. We'll see what Leeds can do. I mean, I know a lot of people are looking at that Chelsea result, and I think based off the first three matches, like I said, I think Brighton are kind of the same team as last season. They haven't changed a ton in their lineup. Like Moises Caicedo's in there instead of Basuma, but that's really about it in terms of their starting 11. I guess Cucurella is not in there anymore, and Solomon March is healthy again, so he's full go there. But Leeds, I'm still kind of uncertain on what they're going to look like throughout the season. I mean, they got that Chelsea win, but I mean, you look at it, Conor Gallagher got, I mean, I guess his first league start for Chelsea, maybe ever. Maybe ever. So you got that in there. You have Gallagher and Jorginho starting together. Loftus-Cheek playing at right wing back. Chelsea just didn't, I mean, they controlled maybe the first 20, 25 minutes or something of that match. Then all of a sudden Aaronson took the ball off of Mendy, and that kind of flipped the match from what I think was where the match was actually headed. And then it kind of got away from Chelsea a little bit there. I mean, then you look at their prior results. They gave up an early goal against Wolves and came back and won in the opener. They scored two first against Southampton, then they gave up two and went to a draw. So I think they're kind of more unreliable here. Whereas Brighton, they like to have possession of the ball. They like to control things. And a team that kind of presses, as long as, you know, they don't lose the ball in bad positions, which they haven't done this season. And for the most part, they're pretty solid at not doing overall. And I think that's going to be where – I'm going here. Brighton already a low scoring team. Danny Welbeck is playing well, and he's actually healthy for the time being. But I'm going under 2.5 goals here at -105. I don't think the Leeds are going to get the same kind of opportunities in the spot. Again, this is away from home. Their last away match, you know, is against Southampton. Don't really believe in that Southampton back line either. So I was going with Brighton money line, but one thing that detracted me was that Brighton was actually better away from home last season, which kind of doesn't make sense on the surface. Not sure what was going on there. I remember Graham Potter saying last season, you know, we kind of struggle at home, and he didn't know why either. But instead of, you know, taking the risk of, you know, a 1-1 result, because Leeds are playing well, but I think under 2.5 goals is my play here.
Yeah, when I looked at that too, I was like, I feel like we have a big enough sample size, like going back to last season, where it's like I'd much rather have the under here.
Yeah.
And then we didn't discuss this, but last season in both of their matches, it was under two goals. It was a 0-0 draw and then a 1-1 draw between these two sides. So yeah, I kind of opt for the under as well, despite Leeds finding the back of the net early and often in their first three matches.
Yeah, when they actually last met Brighton at Leeds May 15th, that was, if you remember correctly, like they're fighting relegation at that point, and they got a late equalizer by Pascal Strike in stoppage time. You know, this was with Jesse Marsh. This was with Graham Potter. So it wasn't like different managers or anything. Brighton still outplayed them at Leeds, and Leeds got that late goal for the point. But I think, you know, that is kind of relevant, I think, for this matchup, though.
Yeah, and we gloss over this to start, but Adam off to an impressive 6-3 record here over 3 weeks, and I clawed back last week. I had started 1-4-1. The people were wondering what I was thinking, you know, wondering is he qualified to be on this podcast, and I was asking myself that same question. Came back strongly, 3-0 last week, so we're gonna try to keep it going. And specifically in this match, I'm taking Leeds double chance. You're getting +100. I just think, you know, you mentioned that Brighton were actually better away than they were at home last year. And I think Leeds are, I mean, they're they're exponentially better than they were last year at this time. So I'm going to take them. I like the plus 100 there. And given that they drew them twice last season too, it's like, you know, might as well. Just, will they continue that trend?
Yeah, I think I was originally looking at Brighton money line because I looked at this one Brighton match. They're the only home match, their home opener. They kind of took it to Newcastle. Newcastle, another team that's kind of trying to press a little bit more. I mean, we just saw that against Manchester City. But I mean, Brighton for the most part, I mean, you look at the numbers, 1.5 expected goals, 0.22 for Newcastle. That's why I was looking at Brighton. But this could go. This just seems like a 1-0 result to either side, a 1-1 result. So if you're getting plus, I mean, right there, even odds at Leeds, I think that's a pretty reasonable route to go. But
yeah, and I mean, I looked at the spreads too, and it was a half goal for Leeds was I think it was a -110. So it's like just head over and get that double chance instead as the same bet. But better.
Yeah, classic DraftKings route of stealing your money. Here, go look at these spreads and take Leeds 0.5 goals, which is -110, even though you can get the same thing in a double chance at +100. They're just sprinkling in like, here, we'll steal your money this way. Here you go. This kind of thing. Yeah. But that's what they do. That's what sportsbooks do. And
that's why we're here on the Kitchen Wagers podcast.
And we're trying to figure this out. That's the main goal. Yeah, that's the main goal of Kits and Wagers. We're trying to figure out where the sports books are trying to screw you. Yeah. And that's the goal. We're trying to find the good bets. But next match, we have one of the bigger favorites of the week, and we got Arsenal -330 to win. They were -265 about 10 days ago. So a bit of a jump for them. And then you got Fulham to win +850. They were +750. And the draw is getting no love because everyone is betting on Arsenal. And then a lot of the money here, well, it's just going over 2.5 goals is -205. So the implied goal total is, you know, above 3. You can get over 3.5 goals at +125. If you don't think there's going to be goals, under 2.5 goals, +165. I think we're both on Arsenal. We're not going to be betting Fulham in the spot.
Absolutely not.
But I guess, well, what are your thoughts with Fulham? We're talking about Fulham on back-to-back weeks here, and I do want to say I got the late win. My bet last week was Fulham to win and over 1.5 goals. I got that at +210.
Yeah.
It was a nice win. It was a nice win for me. I got that late Mitrovic goal. But now they're away from home. Now they're against one of the best teams in the league. And more relevant is that Fulham really don't have much of a bench. Cabano did not play, and we don't have the press conference yet. Cabano missed last week's match. Jay Stansfield started for him on the wing. Jay Stansfield also started midweek for Fulham because I think he's like a 19-year-old guy, but they just don't really have anyone. This is their team. Cabano's out, so they got Stansfield. They're really, really thin. I think they've made the fewest one, or at least top 10 in terms of fewest amount of subs in the league. So at Arsenal, that's not a good recipe for success.
Also noteworthy in the midweek cup matches, they lost 2-0 to Crawley Town. Is that a League One side? I'm not super sure about that, but tough looking loss there. Arsenal playing, you know, quite good right now. They won Crystal Palace 2-0, 4-2 against Leicester, and then kind of just wrapped it up against Bournemouth last week 3-0 and looked pretty good doing it. I'm definitely – that's for that reason in particular. I'm not even thinking about Fulham, but I do think that Arsenal could win this one by a couple goals.
Yeah, that midweek match, they rotated pretty much everyone just because I mean, they know they have no bench. So it's like we need these guys in the Premier League. We can't risk them in this cup match. So like even though they added, I can't remember who they started in that match, but it was like Shane Duffy and Issa Diop on the back line. Still not enough to beat Crawley Town.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just hard to go against Arsenal right now. They're cruising. I don't think they actually had a cup match because they're high enough in the table.
Yeah.
So they didn't have that to worry about. They're getting guys healthy. So they're, in addition to being better, they're deeper. Tierney's coming through. Tomiyasu's coming through. Smith Rowe's coming through. So they got these guys getting healthy. They're probably going to keep the same starting 11 because they've been having so much success, but really hard to go against them. We're both on them. My bet here, Arsenal -1.5. You can get that. So you got to shop around a little bit. This was -115 at DraftKings yesterday. Last I saw is -130 at DraftKings. Yeah, I think it's -125 at FanDuel. It's like -150 at maybe BetMGM or somewhere. I found this -1.5, -115 is at Bet365. So if you have a few different accounts at a different sports books, there you go. I did find the -115 odds, so it is out there somewhere still. But Chris, you're going kind of in the same route.
Yeah, I'm taking Arsenal money line and then over 2.5 goals. My co-host here, Adam Zdrojek, found this for me. So I appreciate him doing that because it was, I think, -135 at DraftKings, the same bet. So you get a little slightly better. And I think on this podcast, we try to never do anything over -130 just because you make it interesting. And like, for instance, last week you gave out like a +200 winner. So yeah, I'm over. What's that?
That's right.
I'm just over the 2.5 goals. And even this leads to a little bit similar discussion here, but like the over 2.5 just as is -205. So you're not going to go all 3.5. The over 3.5 is +125. I never feel particularly good about betting for 4 goals. That's just a lot of goals for a Premier League match. But here you.
Yeah, it seems like Arsenal, a great spot. Another thing I was looking at, if you don't think Fulham are going to score, if you don't get one of their Mitrovic goals, you can do win to nil. I found that somewhere. It's one of the bets that it's like hard to find no matter what site you're going at. Like it's kind of disappeared from DraftKings, and I can't find it at FanDuel right now, but I feel like that's a bet. It'll probably be like minus – kind of in the same range, -120, -130. I know it's a thing available at BetMGM as well, but for some reason, maybe DraftKings didn't have success with win to nil bets. I don't know. I can't find it though lately. So,
any interest in a player parlay here? You can get Gabriel Jesus to score and Arsenal to win at -120.
Yeah, I would look at that. Again, you can get better odds. I'm seeing DraftKings is -175 on Jesus to score. FanDuel actually has -115 on Jesus to score. So I assume you can get plus odds at FanDuel if you want to do like Arsenal win, Jesus to score. Pretty good, pretty good idea. Jesus has looked awesome. Scored. Did he have a hat trick in Arsenal's opening home match, or he had a brace?
But he had two goals, two assists against Leicester.
Yeah. Yeah, so if there's someone to score in this match, you would bet on Jesus. Otherwise, it's kind of hard to project in terms of who's getting these goals from Arsenal because it could be Odegaard, it could be Martinelli, it could be Saka, and I guess it could be Xhaka, given I think he already has 2 goals this season. I think both random rebounds or something like that. But
yeah,
next match. We have only Saturday and Sunday matches this week because – we're midweek next week.
I kind of love that though. I hate, like, you know, the Monday matches are fine, but they've been kind of, you know, for me specifically, they've been kind of tough. But I like when they're all on Saturday, Sunday. You get it out of the way for us. You know, we'll be back like Tuesday or Monday to podcast for the midweek slate too.
Maybe. Well, you say you like that now, but we're probably gonna have to do a podcast on Monday for game week 5. So there you go.
Case of the Mondays.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, next match we got Nottingham Forest home against Tottenham. Nottingham Forest, holy cow, these odds, I don't know what happened here. Let's see. We got plus 600 for Nottingham Forest to win. They were plus 390 on August 14th. I'm not sure what happened since then, but a pretty wild jump here for unexplained reasons. So in that sense, Tottenham went from minus 150 to minus 225. Nothing really happened except for maybe the odds went down after Nottingham Forest beat West Ham, and then they went back up after drawing against Everton. I'm not sure. So that's
weird. I think that's a little bit weird too. I mean, it's not like they did anything bad. They won a game and drew a game, and then the odds got jacked up. So.
Yeah, and they rotated pretty heavily midweek with pretty much a bunch of their new signings. So it's not like that is going to change anything anyways. I feel like they probably added Morgan Gibbs-White since that 390 number is out. Maybe that 390 number is a mistake. It's just sitting here in this line movement. But over 2.5 goals is minus 135. Under 2.5 goals, plus 105. Nottingham Forest eked out a win in their home opener against West Ham 1-0. I believe there was a Dean Henderson PK save in that. Do you think they have a chance to take down Tottenham here?
I don't. I think, I mean, Tottenham, I guess, is Forest? Tottenham's at home here, or is Forest at home?
Forest is at home.
Okay. I mean, so that helps their odds a little bit, but I just think, you know, Tottenham have looked really strong. I mean, despite the 2-2 draw with Chelsea and what was – it was more of like a felt like a theater game than an actual soccer match. But I still think Tottenham are just like one of the strongest sides out there. And despite all of the investment that Nottingham has made, I think that Tottenham come into town and at least get a point out of this. So I'm kind of going a totally different route than like picking a winner. Or I'm actually going with, I was looking at this handy dandy cheat sheet that we have over at rotowire.com, and it's got all of the matches for the week. And you can scroll down, you can go to the team conceded stats, which I kind of like for fantasy, for more of like a season long or daily purposes, but it's also nice to kind of look at it when you're specifically looking at corners. And right now, Nottingham are in their per match stats, they're conceding 8 corners per match, which is the most in the Premier League. And then you scroll down a little bit and you find Tottenham, who's about mid table. I think they're conceding maybe 8th or 9th most corners per match. And that's, they're averaging about 5.33 match through over 5 corners conceded per match. So you put that together and you can get over 10.5 corners at minus 105. So you're almost getting even odds. And I think that, you know, Nottingham should probably be pretty bunkered in, playing pretty defensively. So say, you know, Spurs go out there and they get 7-8 corners. All we need is a couple from Nottingham to get it done. So that's where I'm going to go this week.
I tried to turn
this
off.
Is a classic. To let me preface this. I didn't even preface this to start, but this is a classic Adams Adroit. He did this a couple times last season, and the success maybe wasn't as good as we had hoped, but I'm going to hope to steal it and maybe bring some luck to us.
Yeah, we talked about this before the show. I don't know if I'm going to get another corners bet this season. It just hasn't gone well for me. I took Southampton, I think it was like a race to 7 corners against Leeds 2 weeks ago. They finished with 2 corners. There's nothing else to say about it. They finished with 2 corners, and that's it. So I'm kind of off corners. So while I do think, you know, taking Tottenham over 6.5 is probably the smarter move, but maybe don't take my word for corners. So that's kind of what Chris's route is. He didn't listen to me when I told him take Tottenham over 6.5 or take Tottenham in like the race to 7 corners, because you're betting on Forest to get maybe to get like 3 or 4. And do you want to bet on that? Maybe. He does. Get
3, I'll be, this hits.
Yeah, I mean, Nico Williams will be charging at that'll be a pretty fun matchup. So we got Ivan Perisic and Nico Williams on the same side. So those guys will be going at it a decent amount. So yeah, that'll be fun to watch. But yeah, I'm still interested to see what Nottingham Forest do with their signings. Like, we saw a bunch of them midweek, but it seems like they're kind of using a lot of the same guy. Well, not a lot of the same guys from last season, but a lot of the same guys that they had a month ago or a few weeks ago. Like, they have their squad. I don't think they're going to change it up too much. Like, Ryan Yates is back from his injury and he's getting minutes. He played a bunch last season in the midfield. I mean, obviously their whole team is kind of filled with new additions from the summer, but I don't think they're going to play. They're playing like all the new guys. Like, I don't think they're going to be starting Morgan Gibbs-White or Remo Freuler.
What about Emmanuel Dennis? Like, did he start?
Emmanuel Dennis started midweek. I think he went 90, so like, I don't think he's going to start here. Yeah, so they have all these guys, but that's what I'm saying. I don't think they're actually starting in this match, or it'll probably be like a midweek thing where there's going to be like, now that Nottingham Forest is suddenly a deep team, we're going to see them rotate midweek. But I guess I didn't even mention my bet here. So in terms of the rollover for Nottingham Forest is their back line. Their back line is what has rolled over for them, and they have the same 3 center backs as last season. I believe Steve Cook was injured for a little bit. He got his first start last week against Everton. You know, they've allowed 1 goal in the last 2 matches. Despite getting dominated by Newcastle in the opener, they only allowed 2 goals in that match. I think their goal here, they're going to try to go for like a scoreless draw. They're just going to try and keep things contained. They're not going to want to attack and be open to a counterattack of Tottenham and to Son and Kane and that kind of thing. So I think they're going to try and sit back a bit. They're not going to want to get this match open. And I think that's going to lead to a lower scoring match, what we kind of just saw with Tottenham and Wolverhampton. You know, Nottingham Forest at home, but I think this is going to be a different kind of match than the West Ham one. The hope here is that, you know, Tottenham don't score early and the wheels fall off and it's like 3-0 kind of a thing. But I think it'll be kind of defensive, and as long as Nottingham Forest can be consistent and stay and keep those guys in front of them, I think they'll keep Tottenham under at least 2 goals or under. And I think that will be enough, because I'm not convinced that Forest are actually going to score here.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Just so much roster churn. Like, no one's probably gelled yet, and Tottenham, obviously under Conte, are a pretty solid defensive team.
Yeah, as I said, they're basically, from last season, they got the 3 center backs, and I guess Ryan Yates, now that he's starting, and Brendan Johnson in our projected 11. Those are the only starters from last season. So that's 5 guys right there, and that's kind of what they used. First 3 matches of this season, though Niakate is a new signing. He started the first 2 matches because Steve Cook was injured. So,
any concern about Romero being out for Tottenham and them having to go with Davinson Sanchez?
I don't think it's a huge deal. I'm still not sold on what like this Nottingham Forest attack looks like. They didn't show a ton against Everton, and I mean, their goal against West Ham was, I don't know if I want to say fluky, but it wasn't like a brilliant kind of a thing. It went off like Iwani's thigh, I believe, off a deflection kind of a thing. Like they're not a team that's going to score more than 1 goal in this match, unless it turns into Newcastle, Man City, and that kind of a thing.
That was an electric match. It was so good.
Yeah, I read correctly that Newcastle was going to put up a fight there, but I misread that they would actually, you know, try and take it to Man City.
I think I had the +1.5 for Newcastle on that.
Yeah.
I was messaging Adam at the time. I was like, and Newcastle goes up 3-1. I was like, if Newcastle concedes, that would have been 4 straight goals. I'm retiring from the pod, so I'm glad I didn't have to do that.
Yeah, you're still on. You did not retire. But that's all for the three matches we're talking about. Our team parlay is 1-2 right now. I think we're about even money because, you know, our goal here is try to get minimum of plus 200 odds in all these team parlays. I took Leicester money line last Thursday, and it must have been, I don't know if it must have been a couple hours later. It was like Wesley Fofana is out of the team. He's looking for a transfer, so he's not going to be in the team. And then we saw Saturday morning, Tielemans was benched because Rodgers wasn't happy with him because he's also been in rumors to transfer away. So, you know, two of their better players, just not in the team against Southampton. Maybe I would have gone off Leicester money line there. And then you took Tottenham minus 1.5. That one didn't work out. They had some really good chances at the end of that match to make it 2-0. But, I mean, that's ignoring the fact that Wolves probably outplayed Tottenham in the first half. But this week, we are focusing on one match. So that means a drop in what our potential odds could be. But we're looking at this Brentford-Everton match, and I think we have kind of the same thoughts on it. I don't know if Chris has actually read my article, but if you haven't read my article, I'm not talking to Chris, but just in general, I wrote about this match. I think we're kind of getting played here in the odds. I think the odds are incorrect. I think Brentford should be like a minus 130, something like that. I think we're getting played with. Something's going on. This game might be rigged. Do you think this game is rigged?
We can't bring that juju on this podcast.
Do you think Brentford should be like only plus 105 to win in the spot? Home match was 4-0 against Manchester United.
Yeah, I thought they were going to be minus odds here, but they're not. They're plus 105 money line.
Include like Anthony Gordon has been in talks to move to Chelsea for the past 2 days. Like there's a chance Gordon isn't even in their team on Saturday. So like if you take him out, he's like one of their better players.
Sidebar, but how the heck is Anthony Gordon going for like £50 million? The guy's got like 4 Premier League goals and like in what, 50 appearances?
Chelsea are desperate. They're desperate.
And they got deep pockets.
Deep pockets.
But anyways, I don't really know. Everton, I mean, they haven't been good. They got a decent result last time out. League Cup, they won 1-0. They tied Nottingham, but otherwise it's been 1-0 against Chelsea, 2-1 against Everton. So it's not like – or against Aston Villa, rather. So it's not like they've been good. So I don't really get it.
No, they haven't been good. I mean, you look at their team midweek. This was a Tuesday match, and there's just not a ton of depth there. You look at it, they used 3 subs. Demarai Gray started, Iwobi started. So they have all these guys. Patterson started. They have 3 guys. Demarai Gray's been starting every match. Man, I'm looking at on FotMob right here, and they don't even have who actually the substitutes were. But no matter, they're a thin team, and they almost lost at home last week against Nottingham Forest. You know, like I know that they put it on late, and maybe they should have got a late goal to win that 1-2-1 kind of thing. But Everton were terrible away from home last season. They went down 2 goals against Aston Villa a couple weeks ago. Still haven't seen a ton from them. You know, anytime a team has to start Solomon Rondon in their attack, like that can't mean a good thing. So Brentford at home, I guess I'll just get into the bet here.
Might as well.
My bet here is knowing both teams to score between Brentford and Everton. That's plus 105. And I like this because earlier in the week, Thomas Frank came out and said, you know, while we're scoring goals, we're scoring a bunch of goals, our defense just hasn't been there where I want it to be. And usually when a manager says something like that, that usually means the team's going to be a little more defensive than they have been in previous matches. Brentford, they lost 3-2 at Fulham in their last match. They did get the clean sheet against Manchester United in their last home match. But I think that's just pretty good news for this bet. I really like this matchup. I think Brentford are a better team. They're at home, and Everton, they don't have the scoring here in this spot. I mean, the chance this doesn't hit is if like Brentford are up 2-0, 3-0, and then Everton get a late goal or something like that. But you're going Brentford money line. So yeah. What's your breakdown here?
I think I went on I did a no on both teams to score when it was Aston Villa Everton, and then Lucas Digne scored like an own goal like late in the match. But so I'm, you know, yeah. So let's try to avoid that. Any quirky stuff at the end of the match. But yeah, I'm taking Brentford again. Money line, they're even odds. Perhaps even they're plus 105 I'm seeing on DraftKings. So you can, I don't know, this must be like the parlay from like FanDuel.
Yeah, these odds are based off the single game parlay. So technically, if you put like a plus 100 and a plus 100 bet together, that should equal plus 300. But because this is the same match, because you're doing a single game parlay, and most of these sites aren't going to allow you to put these two bets together in the same match, you got to do the single game parlay, which is plus 230 odds. So we're getting, we're getting a drop in odds here, but
yeah, either way, you mentioned how bad Everton were last season. They were them and Norwich, Everton and Norwich were the two worst teams away from home. They both won two games and drew four, and then lost 13. But also noteworthy was that Everton conceded 41 goals away from home. Brentford, meanwhile, they've been scoring a fair bit of goals. They had two last week, four the week before. I like them. They're playing at home. They were pretty much even last season in terms of how they played at home versus how they played away. But this season, they've been really good so far. And I just think that Brentford are a much better team. They're in a much better place than Everton is. And the even odds for Brentford is Brentford money line. I just can't look away from that.
Yeah, while I really like this match, there's like a small thing in the back of my head that's like Everton have a chance to win this one 1-0. And all your bets are going to be wrong. Yeah. So I just want to get that out there into the world that I know it's possible. Okay, I know it's possible, but I don't think it's going to happen. We're going to win this parlay. We're going to be 2-2. So, Chris, you got anything else here before we let me pull up the games. I like this game week. We got Saturday, Sunday. We got a lot of ways to go. I considered like a Chelsea money line at home. I know they're coming off a loss, but that's usually a good spot to back a team. And then you got James Maddison possibly being injured. I don't want to touch that Southampton-Manchester United game. Do you think Crystal Palace are going to put up a fight against Manchester City?
I mean, we hope so, just to keep things interesting. But, yeah, I think City should probably cruise past them. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at for the week. I'm in New York this week, and I'm going to go to the Liverpool Supporters Club for the Bournemouth match on Saturday. So if any of our listeners are New York based, hit me up on Twitter and I'd be down to get a beer and watch the game.
Yeah, at @CHROwen8. Just be ready when Bournemouth win that one 3-0. That, you know,
a mental state will be even worse.
You know, that bar is just not going to be very fun. So,
yes, it'll be a sad place to be.
So, I mean, you're going to this bar to watch the game. What's the score prediction here? What do you got?
I can't after the last couple of weeks. Probably 1-1.
I almost considered like a Bournemouth plus 2.5 bet because Liverpool are such big favorites.
Yeah, yeah, that would be a good one.
But Bournemouth just have not looked good.
Yeah, 2.5 is minus 110.
I think this is like a 2-0 result. Unless Liverpool figure things out, I think it could be like a 2-0, 2-1 kind of result.
They're going to put Bobby Firmino as like a central midfielder again and playing like how he played against United.
I mean, everyone's talking about their back line, but I don't like their attack early isn't at the same level. So
yeah, good for is it Malacia? Is that how you say it? The left back from United, and then Lissandro Martinez like looked awesome against them. So, I mean, credit to them; they played awesome.
Yeah. So bonus bet, my bonus bet: Bournemouth plus 2.5. Let's go with it.
Love it,
Chris. You can find him at Twitter. I am at Roto Isadroic. RotoWire.com/soccer trial, free 10-day trial. You can check all that out. We were a combined 5-1 with our best last week. Obviously, a parlay loss, but we're getting the parlay. Again, we're still hoping for the 7-0 week. And, you know, we were close last week. We were very close, 5-2. And I think we got some good bets this week. So if we don't hit 6-1, I'm going to be disappointed. So
same.
All right, Chris, enjoy hanging out in the woods. And we'll see everyone. I guess we'll be here Monday, won't we? All right. We'll see everyone Monday.
All right. Later, Adam.